Access to abortion has always been promoted as a right for women, which benefits women and, of course, gives zero concern for the baby. Now it seems that even concern for the woman is being pushed to the side, with the FDA giving approval to an abortion pill and the ways that it can be made available to women. My next guest is part of the effort to raise awareness about the health concerns for the woman that this decision is creating. She's a board-certified OBGYN who has delivered more than 5,000 babies in her career. She's also a senior fellow and director of medical affairs with the Charlotte Lozier Institute, which has filed an amicus brief concerning a Texas court action on this issue you might have been reading about online and in the news. We say good morning to Dr. Ingrid Scott. How are you today, Ingrid?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
A couple of websites. We have them, of course, on our homepage as well. Learn more about the facts versus what's being presented about this issue, abortiondrugfacts.com. Learn more about the Charlotte Lozier Institute and lozierinstitute.org. For a groundwork for the listener who might have heard about this but hasn't really seen the details, this is termed a chemical abortion process. What does this process entail?
So the FDA-approved regimen consists of two medications, mifepristone, which is the medication that's tightly regulated or has been tightly regulated, blocks progesterone receptors. So it cuts off the hormonal support and kills the embryo or the fetus. It's generally followed in 24 to 48 hours by misoprostol, which induces contractions to extrude the pregnancy tissue. It doesn't always work. Good international studies tell us that approximately one out of 20 women will fail to evacuate all the tissue and will require surgery.
People might be more familiar with, is this any relation to, is it a renaming of what was known as RU486?
Right. RU486 is the French name for mifepristone. And it's interesting that when we look back, we see that it has been a politicized process bringing that pill to the United States. That was on the request of President Clinton. And since that time, the FDA has progressively loosened restrictions on the drug, even though in many cases it was based on very poor quality data that they did so.
That's what we've heard a lot, too, that this is a safe process. This is being said by the proponents of it over and over and over again, which is certainly a wonderful thing to say when you're trying to sell something, whether it be for a cause or for profit. But what is being learned about factually and medically that would run counter to that claim of safety?
Well, you know, I think the first thing to recognize is that it's the abortion industry that publishes studies that they say document safety. But it's important to recognize that in the United States, our data is very poor because almost everything about abortion is voluntary reporting. We don't even know the numbers of abortions that occur. We don't know the complications, and there's many reasons for that, and we don't know the deaths that occur after abortion. Part of the problem is that it is promoted as being so safe that when a woman has a complication, she's often surprised because she didn't think that could happen. She does not return to the abortion provider many times. She presents to the emergency room, perhaps in distress with a hemorrhage. And we have been able to document through records linkage studies that Charlotte Lozier has performed that about 60% of the time when she presents to an emergency room, the visit is miscoded as due to a miscarriage. So either the woman doesn't tell the doctor that it was a chemical abortion that caused her complication, or the doctor perhaps assumes and doesn't ask. But, of course, you can see that you cannot get good data if there's all this miscoding. And, of course, the articles that the abortion industry prints to do with the complications that they know about. But if she doesn't return to that doctor, then, of course, he does not know about the complication. That's why the international records linkage studies are important, because they tell us there's at least three or four times as many complications as the abortion industry knows about.
Talking with Dr. Ingrid Scott, who is Senior Fellow and Director of Medical Affairs with the Charlotte Lozier Institute, lozierinstitute.org. Talking about the recently approved by the FDA abortion pill procedure, which you can learn more about the actual facts about at abortiondrugfacts.com. and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned, of course, doctors being a part of the process, but the FDA has also amended the access to this chemical abortion procedure where, other than maybe some FaceTime on a smartphone screen, that could theoretically be the only contact woman has with an actual doctor.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've basically demedicalized the procedure, taken it out of the supervision of doctors. This was done using the COVID pandemic as an excuse. They said it was too dangerous for women to present for an in-person visit. Initially, they said that was to allow telemedicine, but what has happened is that now women are ordering it online. They're having it delivered to their mailbox without any medical supervision. And, of course, the woman may underestimate her gestational age, in which case it's more likely to fail. You know, if there's more tissue in there, the body may not be able to get all that tissue out. Women who have ectopic pregnancies in the tube may not know that, and women have died seeking chemical abortion if an ectopic has not been ruled out because that the medication does not work on a tubal pregnancy, which can rupture and cause catastrophic hemorrhage. Women aren't getting their blood tested to see if they need a commonly given shot called Rogam to prevent future pregnancy complications. And very importantly, we don't even know if the person who is ordering the drug is the person is a woman who wants an abortion. So sex traffickers, incestuous abusers, coercive boyfriends, they can all now get a hold of these pills and they can provide them to women who may not want the abortion. So this is very concerning what the FDA and the Biden administration have allowed to happen.
I don't want to ask this as a generalization, but it's nevertheless as something I have as a belief. The younger a woman is, the more likely she will want to seek an abortion, and perhaps a chemical abortion might be seen as a quick solution to a sudden problem for a very young girl. And with what I've been reading up about this chemical abortion procedure, the FDA did little, if any, testing on this on these two medications with any adolescent individuals.
Yeah, absolutely. The FDA has rules that they're supposed to follow, and in approving mifepristone, they essentially did not follow many of their rules. The studies they used were poor quality studies, but most importantly, like you pointed out, they did not do any specific testing on a pediatric age population, which they're required to do by their own rules. So, you know, if a 14-year-old takes this pill and she still is developing, does it change her sexual development? Does it work less well in a young woman? Could it impact her future fertility? We don't know the answer to any of those questions because the FDA did not study it in that population, even though, as you say, probably about a third of the women who obtain chemical abortions are women less than the age of 18. And one other thing I didn't mention, but I think this is a really legitimate concern. These women, of course, are self-managing their own abortion. They are hemorrhaging in their toilet alone in many cases. And an 8-week fetus is about the size and shape of a gummy bear. He is clearly identifiable as a human being. These women are seeing their unborn children that they've chosen to terminate in the toilet. And I just don't know what the emotional repercussions of that are going to be, because already this is a population that has much concerns with anxiety and depression.
Have you in your practice seen any negative outcome from this procedure personally and have had to treat and help the woman recover from it?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen many women who'd come to me in the office. And also when I cover the emergency room, and I'm in Texas, and it's illegal in Texas, but I am still, in fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I needed to do surgery on a woman who received the abortion pills in California, hemorrhaged for 2 months, and finally presented to my emergency room where I took care of her. She had dead tissue in her uterus. So even though it's illegal, it's flooding states where there are pro-life laws, the doctors that cover emergency rooms frequently see complications.
I guess the best thing to hope for out of this is a detailed, succinct decision by this judge, because certainly there are many other levels in the judicial process. This is going to go above and beyond the cases being heard now in Texas. But for the women listening, the women considering this procedure, whether it be for health purposes, convenient purposes. I mean, we all know what the possible paths are for someone to go for an abortion willingly and unwillingly. What's your immediate best hope out of all this?
Well, I hope that it allows people to kind of consider that there are other alternatives. Chemical abortion is 4 times more dangerous than surgical, but studies show us that so many women choose abortion because they don't have the support of their partner. They think there's a lot of coercion, financial, maybe job-related, maybe parent-related. I would love to see women slow down in the process, not choose an abortion as a knee-jerk reflex, but perhaps visit a crisis pregnancy center to discuss all of their options. Because many, many women fall into an abortion in crisis and have the rest of their life to regret that decision. So I think the best case scenario, number one, would be that women aren't offered these dangerous abortion pills, but number two, that it slows people down so that they can consider, is this really an action that I want to take?
Learn more about the facts of this issue at abortiondrugfacts.com. We've been speaking with OBGYN and Senior Fellow and Director of Medical Affairs with the Charlotte Lozier Institute. On the web, there's lozierinstitute.org. We have those links at our webpage. Dr. Ingrid Skopf, thank you so much for presenting the reality of facts as opposed to the claims that lean on emotions on this very emotional issue. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.